You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
Today, we're starting a brand new series called Church Trademark. We're going to be talking about the church. Specifically, we're going to look into the book of Acts, look at the early church, and the reason why we're doing so is that we're going to look at the marks of the early church. How did they do things? How did they, you know, go about as the church? Because this is going to be very important, because as we do so, the marks of the early church will serve as a blueprint for the contemporary church. By looking at their examples, how they lived their lives as the first believers of Christ, we can greatly learn from their lives and apply them today. Because when you talk about a church, or we talk about distinguishing marks, those marks are important to tell the fake from the real thing. And if we want to have a proper understanding or biblical understanding of how it should be, or what church should operate or live their lives, we need to look at what the Bible says about the church for us to distinguish a real and a fake church. So for this week, the first mark that we're going to look into is about devotion. What it means for a church to exhibit devotion and how this affects us today. And for that, we're going to look into the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2, verse 41 to 47. We're looking to the book of Acts now, and we're learning from the first church, the early church, specifically how they started, and later on, how they went about their daily business as the church. Now, in verse 41, it says here, "So those who received this word were baptized, and there were added to that day about 3,000 souls." What we have here is basically the start of the church. Who are these people, these 3,000 people who were added to this day, that were added to the group of people who were believing Jesus? A bit of background is that in Acts chapter 2, verse 14 to 40, right after the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles on the day of Pentecost, when the disciples finally received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Jesus had promised them several weeks or days before he left them, that he was going to send the helper, that the Holy Spirit would come upon them, that before they went about to do their ministry, to preach the gospel to different people, before they would do so, they would have to wait for the coming of the Holy Spirit. And they did so. They waited for the Holy Spirit until finally they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And because of that, Peter, the very same Peter who denied Jesus three times, the very same Peter who was afraid to be associated with Jesus, went out of where they were staying, and they were staying and probably in hiding because there was still some persecution about the followers of Jesus. Peter went out and started preaching to this huge multitude of people. There were about thousands of people. There's great multitude of people, and Peter preached to them. And what did Peter preach to them? As he was filled with the Holy Spirit, he preached to them the gospel. He talked about Jesus' death, his crucifixion on the cross, his burial, his resurrection, even that part where Jesus was exalted, seated at the right hand of God. Peter preached the full gospel to these people, to this huge multitude of people. And as a result of that preaching, those people coming from different walks of life, by the way, some were Arabs, some were from Palestine, or some were different places. Some were Cretans, some were Greeks, some were Romans. They're from different, you know, cultures, different places. All these people, when they heard this, when they heard what Peter had to say, they were cut to the heart. When it says cut to heart, it basically means to experience great sorrow, mental sorrow. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" They were moved to do something upon hearing the gospel being preached, upon hearing about Jesus and what Jesus did for them, about what Jesus experienced or what happened to Jesus. These people were cut to the heart, and it prompted them to respond in a way that they told the apostles, "What should we do?" And basically, Peter told them to repent, be baptized. He gave them some instructions. Basically, comprehensive gospel preaching results in true conversion. When the gospel is preached, lives are changed. For all of us here today, if you're doing a victory group, you're doing one-to-one, or you simply want to reach out to someone in your workplace, in your campus, in your community, even your family, you can't skip out the part of preaching the full gospel. When the gospel is preached, lives are changed. The gospel changed all these people's lives through Peter. It's not because super eloquent Peter, super knowledgeable, super trained Peter, even though, you know, yes, he was with Jesus. Peter was an ordinary man, a fisherman. And yet, through the power of the Holy Spirit in him, multitudes were added. It says here, there were added that day about 3,000 souls. Before this, there were about 100 to 120 disciples of Jesus. And then when Peter preached, all of a sudden, boom, 3,000 people gave their lives to Christ. And not just that, they were added to the church. So what we have here is this pattern wherein the gospel is preached. People, you know, gave their lives to Jesus. They want to follow Jesus. And not just that, they were added to the church as well. In other words, the biblical pattern here is that believers are to be part of the church. That's the biblical pattern right here. In other words, Christianity, your walk with God is not a solo walk. It's not to be done alone. It's not just you and God. Although, yes, that relationship is important. It's essential, our relationship with God. But it's more than that as well. God designed this relationship with Him, this Christianity thing. God designed this whole walk with Him to be done with other people. Hindi siya solo run lang, but it's to be done in the context of a community of fellow believers. And that is the church. Otherwise, God wouldn't have done it that way. He would have told the disciples, okay, go on your ways, just do your own thing. Preach the gospel, convert as many people as you can, you know, just go about them and bahala na sila. But no, God instituted the church. Jesus called Peter, okay, before he left and called him to lead the church before he left. And so the biblical pattern here, that believers are to be part of a church. But to be a part of a church is actually more than just attending a church service. We're going to look into what the early church did as they were part of that church. It says here in verse 42, as they, those 3,000 people who were added to their number, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. So what did these 3,000 people do when they were added to the 120 or so disciples of Jesus? They devoted themselves. In other words, dili lang siya hangout nga. Okay, 3,000, gathered tadere. There was a purpose to their gathering. When they were added to the church, they did something very important. That is, they devoted themselves. Let's talk about devotion. The devotion of the early church, firstly, is a response to the truth of the gospel. Because they were cut to the heart. Because of the gospel that they heard being preached to them, it caused them to live a lifestyle of devotion. Now, what is devotion? It was this natural response to the gospel. Devotion, coming from the Greek word proskaterio, has several meanings, one of which is to adhere to one, or to stick closely, to follow closely to one, or to show steadfast strength to prevail in spite of difficulties, okay, to follow through. And one way to understand this, is, or to illustrate this, is that there's this story online that I found about a guy, nag-hang gliding siya. This guy had an instructor with him because dili siya kabalo kay how to do it. And the way it should have been done is that nasa kuyog ang instructor and kuyog's nag-hang gliding. Unfortunately, when he took his video and he was about to do hang gliding, unfortunately, he failed to realize that his harness was not attached to the hang glider. Yung instructor naka-attach, pero siya wala. So when they ran and they, you know, went about hang gliding, nagbitay siya. Hanging on for dear life at that height, I don't know how high that is, but for sure, you would be injured or probably you would die if you fell from that height. And so what did he do? With all that he could, he hanged on for about 2+ minutes on that hang glider. When, of course, yung instructor realized quickly, parang, uy, akong kliyente, mamatay niya ni. So he tried his best to land as quickly, as safely as possible. Can you imagine hanging with no harness for over 2 minutes? But the point is, this guy held on as much as he could, stuck closely with all his might to that hang glider, hanging on for dear life. And I'm showing this illustration because the same way, when you talk about devotion, it's something that we're sticking, holding on to closely with steadfast strength, meaning amidst difficulties, challenges, we're holding on to that something. And for this first few thousands of believers, when they were added to the church, they devoted themselves. They held on to certain things. And because of that, the church grew in number. They live a lifestyle, exemplified a lifestyle of devotion. Now, what were they devoted to? Firstly, it says here, the apostles' teaching. The first church, okay, there's 3,000 people held on, were devoted to the apostles' teaching. Now, what's the apostles' teaching about? The teaching here done by the apostles is basically doctrine or instruction. Biblical doctrine teaches us the nature and the character of God. Basically, it's how we should understand, how we should relate to God, who God is, His character. It's our understanding of who God is. Now, the first church were devoted to the apostles' teaching because unlike us, They had no access to the complete Bible. And so their only way of learning Jesus' teachings, okay, what Jesus passed on to the apostles, were through the apostles' teachings. Basically, you know, their only resource was to listen to the apostles. They didn't have the Bible yet, the complete full Bible. The apostles' teaching was the early believers' primary access to God's word. And they devoted themselves to the teaching because they depended on it for their spiritual nourishment. For them to grow spiritually, for them to grow in their walk with God, for them to grow in their faith, kung from where they were on the start, and to keep on growing in their faith, they needed to devote themselves to the apostles' teaching, to listen to it. They needed to do so to grow spiritually. And what this means for us in our modern day setup is that we need to devote ourselves to the Word of God. Good news for us, we have an access to the Bible. The point here is that the church, yes, attend a service, that's important. But we also need to live a lifestyle of devoting ourselves to the Word of God. Because here's the thing. Yes, in a church service, you get to hear the Word of God being preached. But that's just once a week lang. Over a certain time lang. Can you imagine eating once a week? Diba? That's difficult. Magkasakit na. That's unhealthy to eat just once a week. We need to eat daily, regular food to keep us nourished and strong and healthy. The same thing with us spiritually speaking. We need to devote ourselves with the Word of God because that's where we get our spiritual nourishment. When you get sad, depressed, worried, anxious, most probably we have a deficiency with the Word of God in our lives. When you feel weak and tired and stressed, oftentimes what we need on the onset is to devote, is to go back to the Word of God, read the Word of God, to quote-unquote eat the Word of God, digest it. Listen and hear and read what God has to say and speak to us. The first church, the early church, devoted themselves to this, to the Word of God, through the apostles' teaching. And if they were able to do it, even though limited ang resource nila, how much more us with all these resources? The church exhibited a lifestyle devotion, firstly, to the Word of God. Next, let's talk about the second thing that they were devoted to. And that is fellowship and to the breaking of bread. Fellowship. Okay, some of you who have been in church for the longest time might be familiar with this term. Okay, fellowship. What is fellowship? It comes from the Greek word koinonia, which means common life, association, or community. When we think about church, almost immediately, what comes to our minds is basically a church service. When we think about church, it's that Sunday thing that we do. We go to church once a week on a Sunday, on the morning or afternoon or evening. That's our idea of church. But church goes beyond the church service schedule. It goes beyond this hall right here. Church is basically a community. In fact, the word church, ecclesia, means a gathering or an assembly of people. And not just pertaining to a service, but a community. The first church, those 3,000 people, they devoted themselves to God's word. And to the fellowship, to the community of fellow believers. Much like us today, we can do the same. We can fellowship, spend time. Even being there for the lowest point for a person's life when a death of a loved one happens. Basically, in church, right? Because you are in a community, you do life together. Not just an event on a Sunday morning or afternoon, but you do life together. The context of the first church is that they were, all those who believe were in the same place and shared everything. This is how radical their unity or their community was. They were together living in the same place. It says here, and all came upon every soul and many wonders and signs were being done to the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And verse 45, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. Imagine that these people who are in a community with 3,000 plus people coming from, again, different backgrounds, different cultures, different languages. Their sense of community were so strong that they were willing to help out one another by selling their possessions, redistributing the proceeds to anyone who was in need. I'm not saying we do that today, okay? That was in their specific context. But it goes to show you that this diverse church with different backgrounds, it was possible in their number to be united. That unity is not just achievable with a small number, but even with a big number of people, they can still be united. The question is, what united this very diverse church? What kept this, you know, diverse, multicultural church together? It was their common faith. the common denominator with all those people coming from Greece, Rome, Arabia, from different languages, amidst their differences, what united them was their faith. In fact, one practice that they did, which was the breaking of the bread, done in fellowship. Yes, there's breaking of the bread where they would share bread with those who are in need of food, but there's also this breaking of the bread that reminded them that as they broke the bread, they prayed and reminded themselves that the reason for their common union is Christ's work for salvation. They would break bread to remind themselves that the reason why we are united, we are together in this, is the fact that they were knitted together by and through Jesus. That through Jesus, all these differences are transcended. Through Jesus, fellowship is made possible with people coming from seemingly different walks of life. And fellowship is important. God wants you to be part of a community, not just attend an event lang. In fact, says here, John 13, verse 35, fellowship is important because it says here, by this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. In other words, you can't love God and hate the church or hate other people. If we claim to love God, if we claim to follow Jesus, be his disciples, if we claim, I want to be more Christ-like, I want to follow Jesus' examples, the fruit of that is that all the more we will have that love for other people as well. And you would love, especially, fellow believers. So it's only natural that if you claim to follow God, if you claim to follow Jesus, the outward result of that is that we would love other people, especially the church, especially the fellow believers, that we would want to spend time with them. We want to take care of them. In fact, if we read to the New Testament, you would see verse after verse after verse of Paul or the apostles telling people, love one another. Fight for unity. Take care of one another. Look not just for your own needs, but other people as well. Talking about, solving offense or bitterness, unforgiveness. Several times in the New Testament, talks about preserving the unity, the fellowship. The deeper we get into our relationship with God, the greater will be our desire to love His people. Take note that this follows after that point wherein they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the Word of God. Meaning, the first church, as they devoted themselves to God's word, they didn't become hermits. As they devoted themselves to the word of God, to the apostles' teaching, they also devoted themselves to the community, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, that they cared for one another, even those different from them. They would, help out one another, sell their possessions, be united, resolve conflict amongst themselves. The deeper we get to our relationship with God, the more we devote ourselves with God's word, the more we grow spiritually, the result of that is that the greater will be our desire to love His people. Because basically, if we claim to follow Christ, we're following someone who died for people. You cannot be a follower of Christ if you hate people. And again, I'm not talking about personality here. You can be an introvert, okay? I'm not saying na dapat extrovert, dapat people person ka. But even if personality mo introvert ka, you just want to be alone, you want to be quiet and all that. Guess what? It's not healthy just to be alone all the time. There are moments for that between you and God, but God wants us to experience church in a community set up with a community. Next point here says here is that as they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, the breaking of the bread, the other thing they devoted themselves to was the prayers. When you think about praying, a praying church is a healthy church. There are stories in the Bible, the New Testament, when times of crisis would happen, the church would pray. When Peter got arrested and he was jailed, the church prayed, interceded that he would be free. In fact, when Peter was freed and he was on their doorstep and he knocked on them, parang, "Uy, open the door, it's me, Peter." They couldn't believe it was him because they said, "It can't be you. We're still praying that you will be set free." In fact, the Bible says that we should not give up meeting with one another. There's importance and value in being together and praying for one another. Okay? That's why we as a church should learn to pray for one another. The point is, as a church, we need to have that lifestyle of prayer. Because prayer reminds us that, we can't do things alone. We need God. Prayer is a humbling act because it tells us, reminds us that we need God daily. A praying church is a healthy church. And those 3,000 people, new as they were, they devoted themselves to the prayers. And not just that. Verse 46 says here, and day by day, attending the temple together, says here, and the breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts. Says here that they attended the temple together. In other words, coming together for worship is non-negotiable. There's an aspect of being part of a community, doing life together, different milestones together, doing devotion to God's word into prayers. But not just that as well. Attending worship together is also equally important. It's a non-negotiable. It says here, day by day, attending the temple. That's where they would have their service together. Oftentimes, when you think about a church, parang event lang siya sa atong minds. When you think about going to church, it's a Sunday event. It's part of our schedule on the Sundays. And oftentimes, pag stressful ang life, hectic ang season, sometimes the church tends to take a back seat. Now, if you can attend the church, be physically there, attend with fellow believers. Because attending church is not just an event. When you attend a church, you're with fellow believers. You're with other people who are walking with God. Imagine this with me. When you're with fellow believers, whether in fellowship or in church community together, it's like being together with fellow hot coals. If you remove a piece of hot coal from a burning pile of hot coals, that hot coal will eventually cool down. It will lose its heat. And the same thing with us. If we do life alone, if we do this walk with God alone, on our own, we're thinking, I don't need church. I have the Bible. I have resources. I have a podcast. I can just stay at home. I don't need to attend. But here's the thing. It's important for us to attend church together because we encourage one another. It's like being part of that hot coals. Your fire for God, your passion for God is rekindled, refreshed, re-energized when you spend time with fellow believers. Because when you come here, it's a church, yes, we have time for worship. We have time for listening to God's word, but we also have time for fellowship. When you come in here every Sunday, you have time to meet with fellow believers. Connect with fellow believers. If you have a problem, talk to someone here who can help you. Ask fellow believers what they're going through. If you're going through something, ask help from fellow believers. Your victory group leader, your disciple, the one who did one-to-one with you, the one who invited you to church. When you come here to a church, it's an opportunity to pray for one another. You want to pray for someone for healing, for breakthrough, for provision, or you want to be prayed for. You want someone to stand by with you, to encourage you, to pray with you. Perhaps in your family, in your community, in your workplace, in your campus, ikaw lang Christian, feeling mo ikaw lang nang believe ni God, and you feel alone. But when you come in here, such church, you meet fellow believers. Your faith is re-energized. Parang, Lord, I'm not alone, Lord. There are other people walking with you. I'm part of a bigger picture. It's important for us to attend together, to worship together. May we not neglect as well corporate worship, coming together and worshiping God, spending time together. Verse 47, praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord added to their number, day by day, those who are being saved. Interestingly, as a result of their devotion to God's word, to fellowship, and the breaking of bread, and the prayers, and because they attended worship together, this results in growth in the church. That the Lord God added to the number day by day those who were being saved. And not just that. When I say living a lifestyle of devotion, these people, the early church, they weren't self-absorbed. They could have easily succumbed to living in their own Christian bubble. But it says here, those who were being saved were added to their number. In other words, they did not forget still what Jesus instructed them. To go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe everything I commanded you. The apostles' teaching are what Jesus taught them. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. So we have this pattern here. The gospel is preached. People respond. They want to give their lives to Christ. They're added to the church. They devote themselves to the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, the breaking of the bread, prayers, worshiping together. And not just that. They go out naman to preach the gospel again to other people. And so the cycle goes on. And those other people who hear the gospel, follow Jesus, are added to the church. You have this biblical pattern of how the church grew through gospel preaching and through devotion. So what now? The big question is, what now? After all of this, as we talk about devotion, the early church, What now? What does this mean for us today, 2019? What does it mean for us? Very quickly, two simple points for each and every one of us here today. Firstly, get involved. Get involved. What's my point in this? Some of us here today, you've been attending church for the longest time, a year, 2 years, or maybe bago pa mo. And I want to encourage you, get involved. Church community involves participation. You need to get participated. Get yourself involved. Get connected. That's why we always announce victory groups, one-to-ones. Go to that discipleship booth right there. That's why we have people there standing there waiting. I remember when I was still a student and, you know, I had the wrong mindset about church. I didn't think I didn't need to go to church or church service lang alert. In, out na lang alert. Okay na na. But thankfully, by the grace of God, amidst my wrong ideas and notions about church, God led me to the church. It made me realize that I needed the church. I cannot continue walking with God apart from being part of the church. I wouldn't still be here if I didn't become part of the church. I met friends in the church. I met my wife in the church. If we want to grow in our walk with God, we need to get involved. Be part of the church. Secondly, grow through devotion. As we're talking about devotion in this installment, yes, be part of a church, but grow through your devotions, your spiritual disciplines. What we can learn from the first church is that the reason why they grew, the reason why we're here today as a church, we owe it to them is because they devoted themselves to the Word of God, to fellowship, breaking of the bread through prayer, devoted to spiritual disciplines. So grow in your devotions. By all means, continue to read the Word of God, listen to the Word of God, obey the Word of God, fellowship, spend time with fellow believers, and pray. Grow in your devotions. Those are the two things that we can emulate or follow from the first church. Again, get involved, grow through devotion. Because as believers of Christ, we cannot live this life. We cannot live a Christian life apart from being part of a church. It will be so difficult to do things alone. Christianity is not a solo walk, everyone. It's to be done in the context of a community. That's why we need the church. Thank God He instituted the church. He knew that we need each other. We need a community. Otherwise, we wouldn't survive walking with Him alone.
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorytumaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.